In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special word of welcome to our guests and our visitors. We're so happy that you're here. Thank you for joining us on this day. We made it through the storm, right? And if you're visiting us today, we're just very, very grateful to have you. We hope you feel at home. There was a young man walking through the desert on a special journey. And as he was going through the desert, he ran into a great surprise. It was an oasis of crystal water. Wonderful, wonderful crystal water. And so he began to taste the water. And the water tasted so sweet. It was so refreshing. And he was so impressed by the water and the sweetness of the water that he decided to get his leather canteen and fill it up with that water and take it back to his tribe, because over there was a great teacher, a great tribal leader that he had studied under, and he just wanted to have the tribal leader taste this wonderful water. And so the young man walked all the way back to his village. And when he got there, he found his teacher. And he said, "Teacher, teacher, I have something I need to share with you. Taste this." And he handed him his leather canteen. And the teacher began to drink the water. And then he effusively and very warmly thanked him for the water. "Thank you, son. Thank you for sharing this with me." Now the young man left with a heart full of happiness and warmth and went on his way to do his things. He had impressed his teacher. And the teacher had another student nearby and decided to hand him the canteen and said, "Young man, why don't you taste this water?" And the young man opened up the canteen and took it to his mouth and began to drink. Just as he began to drink, he spat it out. He said, "Oh, teacher, this water is horrible. It tastes awful. How could you tell this other student this water was so great? How could you thank him so much? This is awful. It has an awful odor. It's terrible." The teacher said to the young student, "See, your problem is you tasted the water. I tasted the gift. You tasted the water. I tasted the gift." What we have in today's gospel is Jesus speaking to us about the power and the importance of gratitude. Living with gratitude. Understanding the importance of being able to thank God and to recognize that everything is a blessing from God. See, you gotta wonder, when these 10 people in today's gospel were healed of their infirmities, when these 10 lepers were liberated from the problem that they had, what was really happening there? What was really happening? Well, the first thing that was happening was that they were told to go on their way to the priests Jesus didn't do any hocus pocus, didn't say any magic words. They were healed immediately. And they went on their way because they knew that by going to the priests, they would be certified of their healing. Remember that lepers in the time of Jesus were considered very impure, and they were considered not just to have a physical problem. See, that would be simple to solve if the problem was just physical. But for the people in the time of Jesus, the leper really had a spiritual problem. To many of the real religious folks, these people were, if you will, cursed for something they had done. There was some kind of curse, some kind of problem. It wasn't just an illness, a disease. It was something more serious than that. It was something deeper. And so, of course, for these 10 people who lived in a very ostracized way, discriminated, apart from the rest of society because of their leprosy, to be told, just go on your way and go. And for them to notice they were healed, you can imagine. If we can get into the minds of all these people, you know, imagine maybe some of them thought, oh, I got to go tell my buddies, you know, I got to go celebrate, have a big party. Maybe some other one thought, oh, I got to go tell the wife and tell my children. I got to go tell the family. Each of them had their own thing going on in their mind. But only one of them thought it was important to come back and say, thank you, God. Only one of them came back praising God for what had happened to them. Only one. What does that say to us? What is Jesus saying when he asks the question, only this foreigner? Because remember, the gospel tells us it wasn't the folks within his own cultural religious group that came back. It was a foreigner, a Samaritan, someone who was already considered kind of not kosher, if you will. That's the person who came back to say thank you. The least expected. There is an incredible power in gratitude. And I want us to reflect on what it means to live with gratitude. Because Jesus is saying that we must not overlook anything in our lives. We must not overlook anything good that happens to us, because the truth is, everything is blessing. The fact that you got up this morning and you opened your eyes and you were able to walk and get up out of your bed and you're able to see the sun shining and look up into the sky, or maybe where you are there's rain or some other condition. But when you look around the world and you see everything that's happening, you say, wow, what a blessing it is to be alive. What a blessing it is to be well. What a blessing it is. See, when we live with gratitude, we do not overlook even the simplest things. We see that even in the small things, something great is happening. We can't just taste the water. We've got to taste the gift. God is constantly giving us those gifts. Some things we see immediately and we can grasp them. Some things we've got to really look for them, but ultimately everything is a blessing. To live with gratitude means that you recognize the hand of God in your life and that you're always able to come back and praise God, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of pain and struggle and difficulty, you can come back and praise God for something God is doing in you. We cannot overlook even the smallest things. Now, when we live with gratitude, something happens to us, you know. We're transformed. I remember a story that I witnessed of a family whose 9-year-old son was out in the baseball field. And like most kids' games, sometimes there's cuts and scrapes and problems and accidents. Well, this kid was severely hit by a baseball right smack in the middle of his face. The batter did his thing, the kid happened to be there, and bam, right smack in the middle of his face. And it kind of really knocked him out. And there was blood and it was nasty, and so they took this kid to the hospital. Now, that family was somewhat devastated because no one from the school where the kid went, it was a religious school, no one really kind of called to follow up. No one really showed too much concern, and so that evening, as they were gathered around the hospital bed with family members, a lawyer who was a friend of the family said, "Listen, the circumstances of this merit a lawsuit. You can get money and be compensated for this, because this happened, you know, in the church school ground. And you really should sue." And so the parents were a bit upset, and they decided they were going to follow through and go through this lawsuit. Now, while this was happening, on the news, there was some coverage of this story of what had happened to the child. And the bishop of that area, he saw in the news that there was this child in, at one of his schools, and he went to the hospital. He got in his car and drove himself and got there to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, he went straight into the room of this child, and he introduced himself to the family, and he began to pray with them. And after he prayed with them and anointed the child and assured them of his prayers and his support for them, and, "Is there anything I can do for you?" came out of his mouth, all of that, everyone's hearts were changed and transformed. They felt a sense of gratitude that the bishop would concern himself with this one child and go to the hospital and be concerned with that situation. And so immediately, the hearts were changed. And all of a sudden, the father walked the bishop to the elevator as he was getting ready to go back home. And the father noticed the father began to cry. The bishop noticed that the father was crying. He said, "Sir, don't worry, everything's going to be okay." He says, "No, Bishop, it's not that." "No, but what happened?" He says, "You know, before you got to the hospital, we were thinking bad things about the school. And we were thinking bad things about the leadership of the school, and that they were not really concerned for us. But when you, the bishop, when you showed up and you prayed with us, it really changed the way we felt about everything. Someone was recommending a lawsuit. I just want you to know, Bishop, there's going to be no lawsuit. There's no need for that." There was a change that occurred. And that change came as a result of gratitude. There was gratitude because those people recognized that they were blessed, that they were praying for them, caring for them, that something was happening there that was good. And so today I say to you, we must not just live with gratitude, we must be able to show our gratitude. Because the fact is, most of us are grateful, right? Aren't we grateful? Most of us are grateful. But the fact is, we reserve our gratitude for those special days, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas, a special birthday, an anniversary, a celebration. And we're ready to express our gratitude. But what if I were to tell you that every day, we're called to live with gratitude? What if I were to tell you that every day, we're called to go back and praise God? And not just keep going on our way, distracted about things, but really be deliberate in our attitude of gratitude. What if we lived every day recognizing the fact that we have been blessed? Imagine how that could transform us and the world around us. Living with gratitude, truly living with gratitude. Tasting the gift, understanding how much we've been blessed. I think that at this stage of our lives and the history of the world around us and the things we see happening, what our world needs most is people of faith that truly show forth in their lives the goodness of God. Because lots of folks, when they think religion, when they think Christianity, Judaism, Islam, whatever, they think rules, right? A certain way of following the holy book, a certain way of understanding God. Well, I gotta tell you, perhaps the best thing we can do as followers of Jesus in today's world is to live with that attitude of gratitude in such a way that it shows in our lives and it spreads to those around us, that we live our lives truly praising God and not taking anything for granted. That question of Jesus that we just heard in the gospel. Where are the other nine? Weren't 10 healed? Where are the other nine? Where'd they go? You know, those other nine are most of us. We go about our lives and we never stop to think, praise God, thank God. Life is a miracle. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm well. There's blood pumping through my veins. I got a lot to praise God about. And it's no accident that the early Christians, when they got together after that first Sunday, you know what happened on that first Sunday, right? When Jesus rose from the dead, when Jesus conquered the darkness of the tomb. That first Sunday, because Sunday is the holy day of Christians. I know that people fight about this all over the place because they confuse the Sabbath of the Old Testament with Sunday. No, Sunday is the holy day of Christians, by the way, because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, and that's why Sunday is our holy day as followers of Jesus. But on those Sundays, when those early friends and followers of Jesus got together, they celebrated Eucharist. And that word, Eucharist, means thanksgiving, giving thanks. It comes from a Greek word that means giving thanks, thanksgiving. And there's a reason why at the very core of Christianity, at the very core of our worship, we thank God. That's what Eucharist means. We come together to listen to the Word of God, to be nourished and fed with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. And when we say that, we're saying that at the very center of what we do as followers of Jesus is this attitude of thanks. That's what Eucharist means, to thank God. We must remember that when we worship, at the very center of our worship is this Eucharist. Thanking God, praising God, because God is here. God is with us. God is alive in us. And when we leave this place, we have to be witnesses. Witnesses of that life within us. We have to be that living Eucharist, that living thanksgiving, that praise, that everything we have and everything we are is a gift. And we must not just receive and drink the water. We must be willing and able to taste the gift. It's not just about what you get. It's about what God gives. And God has blessed us in so many ways. We have so much to be thankful for. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather on this day, help us to know that everything is blessing. Help us to know that living with gratitude is not just a few words that we say, but it's truly something deep down in our hearts where we realize that everything is blessing, that you've given us so much. Help us to take your word to heart. Help us not to walk through this life just indifferently receiving these gifts, but being aware and making the deliberate effort to come back and to always say, thank you, God. Thank you because you have blessed me, because I am abundantly blessed. And when I live with that attitude, Lord, I know that you will transform my life and the life of those around me. For gratitude has a way of changing things. Gratitude has a way of transforming things. Gratitude helps us to live your way. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.